Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of KFWF Radio. This is the world's first and only comedy shit trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And you know what? I've seen some documentaries that they've just been throwing titles all over the place. I'm also going to add a brother, cousin, son, and most importantly, not father, Ozzy V as well. What do you guys got? What titles do you want to add under your names?
Greg's over here as husband, juggler, video game player, and unicycler. I mean, really, really putting it all out there.
That's a feat. I don't know how you do that. Dan, what about you?
Horror podcaster, wrestling podcaster, sexiest hat on earth.
Wow. Okay. Well, if I could add
Don't steal mine.
No, I have this. There's this thing in my head that I gotta like correct things when I see them, and I'm not the whole sexiest hat. I get it, but technically you should be saying owner of, because you aren't the hat. You are the owner of the hat.
I don't distinguish between the two.
It did.
No, but you're not a piece of clothing. You're not leather.
I've never seen it. I've never seen that hat off of him. So maybe at this point,
well,
it has fused.
If you join the Patreon, he actually takes his hat off.
What?
Yes.
That's got to be like the $10,000 Patreon right there.
Kayfabe is
dead. Not the 50,000. Not the 50,000. Burn the hat. 10,000. Watch him take off the hat. It's got to be slow motion, set to 2001 Space Odyssey or Ric Flair's theme. Now, the reason I had to distinguish between the two is because Ric Flair's theme is at a slightly quicker tempo than the 2001 Space Odyssey. I've always spotted that, like, because I had the record when I was a kid and I'd always listen to that song. So when I heard Ric Flair come out, it's like, it sounds like this, but it's quicker. So,
and it's also loops the beginning over and over and never hits.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Yes. All right. We got all that stuff out of the way.
I guess screw Todd. It doesn't matter what his extra name is.
Yeah.
You're an undercard. Man.
Add asshole to my titles, Todd. Other than producer.
Todd, producer, hat hater, father.
Todd's already in the ring.
You know what's funny about no that? You cares. Say hat hater. I'm sorry. Is that all?
I mean, you got more.
You want to add any more?
Not in a PG setting.
Okay, fair enough. How about PG-13 setting?
Borderline.
Okay, that's fair. Now, what I find funny about you saying hat hater is that your man cave, so to speak, has several hats.
Yes.
Several caps, if you baseball caps.
Yes.
So do you want to switch that to fedora hater?
I don't hate fedoras per se. Here's something, and I'll just be 100% honest. I do not understand, and it doesn't matter what kind of hat it is, a leather hat. Like a leather baseball hat, a leather, it's like not hat material to me.
Okay.
It looks awesome.
If you were traversing a jungle, because you're saying you don't understand any reason.
Okay, correct? Well, no, I know where you're going to go. And when the heck is Dan traversing a jungle to need?
No. Hold on a second. Yeah. But that's not where I'm getting at. This technically has nothing to do with Dan. I'm only focusing on the fedora specifically and the leather hat specifically. If you were going on safari and somebody's like, here's a free hat. It's made out of leather. Would you take that hat? It's rainy. It's not hot. Kind of cold. Would you take the hat?
But let me ask you this. Did Dr. Jones ever have to wear a leather hat?
Oh, that hat went through some stuff.
Thank you.
If it weren't for the leather.
You don't know what this hat's been through.
You don't know what this hat's seen, man. You know what? I'm gonna think about this because I know like there's gotta be a reason. Like
I didn't say that.
Hats are expensive. There's gotta be a reason. It's just piqued my interest. That's all.
I'm just not a fan.
That's okay. I'm just curious. Like, hey. No, but I you can be not a fan. But when you say I don't understand the reason for a leather hat,
okay, like, I don't understand the reason point? For like, a leather
helmets.
Hat.
All right, I've got to just say this since Todd went there. Can you believe Todd has seen every Harrison Ford movie except Blade Runner, like the best one?
Well, what? It's even not the best Firewall? One. I don't know.
Does you need to answer my question. Does this include or not include Firewall?
I've never seen Firewall. Dan doesn't even know what Harrison Ford movies I've seen. I've never seen Air Force One.
You've got to watch Air Force One. Is awesome.
Nah, it's Get that night. It's that night.
That is one of the that greatest 90s lines.
Era bad action.
Oh,
I
and you're
do.
Definitely not 90s.
No.
You know why?
I think the action films of the 90s. I am not a fan of.
Todd's colluding with the Russians. That's why.
What?
Hold on, Dan. Because Todd, you hated Bad Boys, right?
This is okay. Yeah. But
and
no,
you hated
like,
Die Hard 2 and with a Vengeance and Last Boy Scout. We can go all day.
But if you, okay, I hate 90s.
Yeah.
The majority of them I'm not a fan of. You name the ones I do like, but there's like Volcano, Twister, and all that era of
those
that.
I wouldn't categorize those as being an action. Those would be subcategorized as disaster movies.
Right.
Which I can see that. I think some disaster movies across all decades.
I like disaster movies.
I hated Deep Impact. Deep Impact made me want to stab my eyes with a pencil and break it off and hopefully die because I wasted 90 minutes of my life. I mean, I thought Morgan Freeman as president was going to be cool. But then I found out that Taya Leone can't open her mouth.
But let's be honest, you did cry during the animal cracker scene in Armageddon. So, you know,
I don't even know what that means.
How do you not know? It was like the most.
Are you talking with Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler?
It's like running the animal cracker.
You cried during that scene?
I said you did. I was insulting you.
If I cried during Armageddon, it was because Bruce Willis is going to stay on the asteroid. Keep in mind, I was 10 years old.
Okay, but just for the record, a good insult helps if the person knows what you're talking about, Dan.
Am I getting old? Everybody knows the animal cracker scene. It was the dumbest scene in movie history. Come on. Plus,
that's not true. There are much dumber scenes in movie history than that.
Name one.
Dumber than that scene?
Yeah.
Like, how about this? What genre you want?
Well, unintentionally.
In a comedy?
Yeah, unintentionally is needed.
How about the movie The Room? The entire Tommy Wiseau, The Room. That it the entire movie is dumber than that scene, and that's proven because people remember it.
The Room is brilliant. You just aren't on a level that you can understand it. So
it's so dumb, it's brilliant.
Absolutely. There you go.
Okay, see, there you go. That it just like okay, we need to move on because we're delving further.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you one thing.
Further tell me one thing that's not gonna delve into something.
Dan's mind cannot be changed. So just move on, or you're gonna run yourself in circles and go crazy.
I was already moving on, but there's a piece in the back of my head that's like, come on, we can do this. Come on, come on, try it.
Yeah, there's certain
genres. I have to tell myself no. I'm going to keep going. We're going to get started with weird news. A couple of stories. First story comes out of, so this guy was in 1982, a high school senior in Bitburg, Germany, although his father was an airman. He was stationed in Air Force Base there. So he left his senior class ring on top of a paper towel dispenser in a bathroom. Thought he'd never find it again, right? 2 weeks ago, he was reunited with that same ring. The guy who found it in a campground site 30 years ago. So this is 38 years, so 8 years. It went from Germany to a campground site in the East Coast. That in itself is a movie. What happened to that ring? And the reason it took 30 years. So he found it 30 years ago. He put it in a safe and then only recently decided to try to find the owner. I guess because, hey, nothing else to do. So what there's kind of a timeline parallel universe thing that's happening, and that is, what if that ring, like, I'm thinking like original Child's Play, where somebody like did some spell and put a curse into the ring, or like Amazing Stories, and like the ring is like has some like evil power to it, or something like that, and so the person who did that wanted to get rid of it, so they flew to New York, went to a campground and buried the ring, only to have this jerk dig up the ring and then give it to its original owner. And now, who knows, this guy might be like Sinestro or something, like, and have like, or, you know, like evil Green Lantern. You know what I'm talking about? I just went into a tangent. I don't know what happened there.
I just love you bring up all these different things about like this possessed, like demonic ring, but you don't even talk about a movie that has a trilogy based about guys walking for 30 years about an evil ring to dump it into a friggin' volcano.
The reason I didn't is because this story I was able to tell with the beginning, middle, and end in about 3 minutes. 180 seconds. Not three movies of people walking the entire time.
Thank you, Kevin Smith. Toledo.
I will tell you this, and I tell this drives my wife crazy, and Pugs actually also. I've never seen the third Lord of the Rings. I've only watched the first two.
I
have no desire, but
I will say that I got some dirty looks in the theater because I was laughing when the hobbits were running down the hill. Because they had little legs, and with the people, everybody, like, you know, and then you see these two little, like, and what are hobbits going to do? You know what I mean? And I'm literally busting up laughing, and I'm getting some serious, dirty looks. Like, if these people weren't into fantasy fiction and actually went to the gym, they probably would have tried to kick my ass. But I just got the dirty looks. That's why I didn't bring up Lord of the Rings. But sure, if there was a golem that would be one reason to bring up, is that if there was a golem that is now coming from Germany because now somebody's in possession of the precious, let's go. I want to see some stuff happen.
You know what else those hobbits were doing, Ozzy?
Oh, man. Like, I think that's the power of the hat talking. So we'll move on to the next story. Unless, Todd, do you have anything you wanted to add on this?
I'm good.
He hasn't seen Blade Runner. You can just pass on him. It's all good.
All right. Next one comes from Tokyo, Japan. It's the Sumida Aquarium, where the aquarium staff has noted that 300 garden eels have now hidden at the site of staff. So if you're not familiar with what garden eels look like, they look like almost like a thicker blades of grass that will actually hang out above the sand, but when threatened, they go under the sand. And due to no visitors to the aquarium, they've forgotten what staff believes they forgot what humans look like. So the staff has actually set up and requested people FaceTime call these garden eels. They've set up 5 tablets where they're faced towards the aquarium. And people can make, they've asked to keep the call short so everybody has an opportunity to, but they're asking people to actually call these garden eels. If anybody listening is interested in calling these garden eels, I will have the emails that you can contact if you are interested in the description. This is real. So I'll have that in there. If you could FaceTime call any animal and have a conversation with that animal, we're going to go Dr. Doolittle rules. You have one animal you can FaceTime call and have a conversation with. What would that animal be? Do you guys want me to go first? Need some time, or you guys got one off the top of your head? Because I can go first.
Go first.
I would want to talk to an eagle, like the predator of the sky. I'd be like, tell me your best stories, man. I want to hear it. What's it like to fly and just own the sky? That would be my. Or if we were doing, you know, back in time, pterodactyl. Same idea.
See, I'm torn. Yeah. Like, part of me feels like I would, if it were like a specific, like one specific animal, Michael Jackson's monkey. I want to know what happened. Like,
he's seen but, some stuff.
Right? But if we're talking like a group, like a species, pigeons. I just want to know if they'd sound like the Good Feathers from Animaniacs. That's all I want to know.
But are you willing to go to potentially go through that heartbreak that if they don't and they actually have an accent that's more akin to Downton Abbey?
You know, that would be awesome.
Well, I see. My word.
Because then I'd just picture him being like, I'm going to shit on that one over there. Just so proper about it.
Almost reminds me of the ending of Spaceballs where you see the apes. Oh, shit. There goes the planet.
Got my Spaceballs jersey on today just for that.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to go with the easy one. I'm going to go with dogs. I really am curious what they'd have to say.
What's the thing you're most curious about a dog? Like, what would you ask? Like, what's the first question you ask?
Why do you yell at everything that comes near the door?
Now, and so Greg said that I would want these pigeons to have the accent of the pigeons from Animaniacs. So what, like, would you want your, the dog voice, or would you want the dog you're talking to have the voice of a stereotypical, like, hello, Todd, like, voice, or would you have like a completely out of left field accent that you'd be like, oh hell yeah, we're gonna have an awesome conversation?
Well, I didn't think that far ahead.
I'm just off the top of your head.
I kind of want him to all talk like Mike Tyson.
Now, was that all breeds or a specific breed?
Well, I was going with all breeds, but then I mean, that's a whole nother show. We could pick voices for what dogs would be with different breeds.
Well, we do have an episode next week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually writing this down.
Ludacris.
All right. Excellent.
I would go.
I thought Ozzy was going to ignore you like he did me on the last one.
Come on now.
Fishmen from Humanoids from the Deep.
We're talking about real animals, Dan.
I didn't say they had to be real. They're fishmen. You know, you can communicate somewhat.
Okay.
They get the ladies.
I'll make my own rules.
I'm glad Dan gets the concept of this.
Who's to say that the fishmen don't exist? We know lizard people exist. Look at Zuckerberg. You don't know.
Oh my gosh. Excuse me.
I killed Ozzy.
Nope. Yeah. No, you didn't. And I don't think, I again, just a slight, you know, tweak there. It wasn't you that did this. It was the situation that did this. If that makes
Fish
sense.
Fishman from Shape of Water?
No, I think it's because it's like, oh, I would talk to like an eagle. I talk to some pigeons. I want to see what they sound like if they sound like Animaniacs. Like, oh, I want to talk to a dog. I want to know what they're yelling at all the time. Like, I want to talk to humanoids. Like, so you understand, like, you know,
they don't
like,
talk.
What? It's just, where are you? We're over here. We're hanging out over here. What are you doing over there? That's what was going on in my mind. And that's what I was laughing at. I mean, am I wrong? Like, am I the one that's in left field? Like,
no, Tom Segura was right. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, Jesus.
Although, if he is a hat, then humanoid is foreign to him.
There you go.
No. But, well, I mean, Dan. When you said there you go, we were trying to like, I'm confused in my own web of what I'm trying to say.
You're like a David Lynch movie. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Dan, you're being way too inside today. I mean, it's not much radio. No one's gonna get any of your references.
I think that's like that's a good that's also a good thing to that's humorous about this whole thing is because it's kind of funny when somebody says, "Oh yeah, well it wasn't like that time when you know got that hamster stuck in your ass, you know." What are you talking about,
Richard Gere?
You know, because exactly, you know, like it was that time. Like, nobody here knows that. Nobody knows what's going on. Like that they're looking at us like we're crazy. Like, yeah, it's funny to me, but nobody here knows that.
All right, this I want to talk scene that to plays that in my head. I want to talk. I want to talk to that gerbil. I want to hear his war stories.
Dan, okay, see, it's not which animal could you be; it's which could you talk to.
I understand the question.
He could talk to a gerbil, but then, like we've reached an answer that I was looking for. So fantastic, and we could get on with this first question. If this is your first time listening, we're gonna play a song after the question. We'll have something to do with the answer. I will say that today's song for this question is in the realm of bullshit. It's fun though, if you really think about it, and I'll tell what it is, that connection that is. But first and foremost is the question in the topic of Major League Baseball. Target Field has been the home stadium of what Major League Baseball team since the 2010 season? Once again, Target Field has been the home stadium of what Major League Baseball team since the 2010 season? We'll be back in a few minutes with the answer.
Oh,
Target Field has been the home stadium of what Major League Baseball team since the 2010 season? Song I had planned was You Could Be Mine by Guns N' Roses. Curious, you guys have any guesses?
No.
None, nope. Right? Okay. No. So the song was You Could Be Mine because it was famously featured in Terminator 2, which was the greatest film that starred Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think that's unanimous, at least arguable. Now, I think what's however unanimous is what is the funniest, what's the greatest comedy Arnold Schwarzenegger ever starred in?
Kindergarten Cop?
Get out of here. There's a better one out there.
Junior.
There's a better one. Who was in Junior with him?
Oh, Danny Twins. DeVito. Here we go, Twins.
Twins, because the correct answer is the Minnesota Twins.
And you're right. I put Twins over Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
Anybody that doesn't put Twins over any other comedy that he's done, we got to have a conversation. Anyway, theme park stories this week by request by popular demand. I'll start things off here and you guys can jump in. So this was at Universal Studios, actually, where they have a pub inside where you can get alcohol, hard liquor. A couple friends of mine, this was a long, long time ago, we grabbed some Long Islands and we went to the tram. However, and I should say that we finished one and then grabbed another one, then went to the tram. So we were kind of toasty once we got there. We saw a line for the tram and, you know, one had just left. But then one of the employees there was like, hey, this Japanese one's leaving right now. You can hop on that one. Like, why not? We already have been, you know, we're drunk. So we're like, why not? We've already seen this stuff. And man, going on the Japanese tour, yet Universal drunk was probably in my top three theme park. It's like that was an extra bonus. Like it's almost like they could have advertised on TV, like get drunk and go on the Japanese tram tour. I would have been like, oh, let's go. If ever the opportunity, I'd recommend it. Just throwing it out there. And I will say at the time, this was circa 2004 or 5. So this was before all like the major new stuff got included in Universal and you could finish that park in like 2 hours. So right. What do you guys got?
All right. So first, Todd, I have to ask you for a clarification on this because I think you know the story. Were we at Warner or Universal when I made my mistake?
I don't remember your mistake.
He named him Todd Jr.
I want to say that was at Universal Studios. I'm 99% sure.
Okay. So I was pretty sure it was too. So we were on the Universal tour and getting off of it during Halloween Horror Nights. And, you know, I was soaking everything in. Really cool. I always haunts in general or where I'm at my most zen. I love haunts.
It was Warner Brothers.
It was Warner Brothers? Oh, okay. All right, we did both. So, all right, Warner Brothers. But we were getting off of the whatever it was, tram thing. And so just taking pictures. You know, I take a lot of photos, all the atmosphere, all the decor. And I come up around a corner, and I actually get startled, like jump scare. And I take a picture. It's this guy, looked like he was missing a leg, wheelchair. And as I'm taking it, I realize he's not part of the show. It's just a guy. And I felt like a douche. I just looked away and I kept going. But it was just where he was, and he was a little, you know, messed up. You know, and it was like, God, no. Pugs
was messed up. What do you mean he's messed up? Like he had no legs? He was messed up?
Not just that.
Legs are messed up, Dan? Is that what you're trying to say?
He was sitting there with, you know, sunken face. It looked like it was like, ugh. You know,
would it make you feel better if he put fedoras over his stubs?
Might have been better, but he was not. It took me about 5 seconds to realize, as I'm like, you know, holding up my cell phone, that he was not part of the show. And I felt,
oh, really, so you were holding up your cell phone to make sure that he wasn't part of the show.
No, well,
so it like, was it like a, I was taking it, it, a I mean, like, of course, you had to shine your light, right?
He was waiting for like a bus or something, you know,
but you still shined your light.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a haunt actor.
Oh, man. And then that guy was probably like, another guy trying to take a picture of me. Like, dude. That's just, again, that's what's happening in my head.
We were just at Bates Motel. I mean, it just, I thought it was part of the show.
Sure. Because, you know, the no-leg dude in Psycho, everybody remembers him.
I think he was only missing one leg, but yeah.
Well, regardless, you know, I don't remember an amputee in Psycho.
Yeah, he was messed up in the face too. It just—it looked like it was something.
You know, it's funny though. It happened to Dan like 5 times that night too. So.
That's messed up.
They're like, I love Wolf Creek.
Now, all right, John Jarrett has a cool hat. Also better than Indiana Jones.
Okay. Hats are not what this segment's about. Todd, you got any theme park stories?
All right. Well, which one to do? I have a lot for my teenage years because I'll go with one of the happier ones. Back when they had the Skyway, I'm sure you should remember that. Mm-hmm. We decided, because sometimes, I don't know, how do I say this? Doing the marijuana, I don't know, smoking a blunt.
Were you on marijuana, Todd?
We're about to be on marijuana. We didn't want to be on marijuana on the People Mover because that was too much of a bust. So we're like, let's go on the Skyway and let's, you know, smoke this. Because it gives you enough time, to, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't like super cameras and shit back then.
Sure.
And so we get on. We're leaving from the Tomorrowland. We light it. We're smoking it. We get a few puffs before we pass Tomorrowland Terrace. I don't know. It got passed, and all of a sudden we just see it falling down to the ground, and it lands right by the trash can. So there's a dad with a stroller walking by. He stops. He looks down. He looks up. He looks down again. He picks it up, he looks at it, and sets it on top of the trash can. So we go back, then we're like, okay, cool. So then we come back on the other way on the Skyway, get off, we go, and it's right there waiting for us. So
funny, we back on the baby Skyway. Grabbed it and just, you know. Well,
are we going to revisit this? Because I forgot my Disney jail stint, too.
Oh my god. Oh, no. You got a Disney jail story. Let's go.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to. Let's let Greg go. I don't know if I don't want to, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize, Greg.
No, no, it's fine. It's so tough to figure out one story to choose. Like, I had worked theme parks from the age of 15 to like 25, 30. You know, it was. So there's a lot of stories have piled up, but I'd probably say one. I'm torn between two, but I think one of my favorites has got to be I was working haunt at Great America, Bay Area theme park, and I'm on stilts over there and doing my thing, you know, having fun, scaring people. Someone decides it's going to be funny to hit me in the back of the knee, and that could be pretty dangerous. But you know, I kept my balance, everything was cool, but there's like a code amongst your crew, you know, and so I said, hey, this guy tried to attack me, pointed him out, and we're a clown zone. So just picture about 20 clowns surrounding this guy. Mm. Like, it was awesome, and we all like got around him, and he's trying to get out, and he is freaking out at this point. So much so, dude pisses his pants, and so we're like, I looked at everyone, I was like, you know what, we don't need to wait for security anymore, let's go. Just, he paid his price, we were good. So, but that was about it, man.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Oh man. I mean, clowns are whatever to me, but if I saw 20 of them, like, just surrounding me and looking at me like, yeah, phobia or no phobia.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry.
Oh.
Wait, you told us you're Warner Brothers. You took somebody's wheelchair.
Oh, I did. Never mind.
Videos.
I had two
videos of an amputee. I want to hear the Disney jail story.
Oh,
okay. So it was, God, I'm going to guess 1990 something. It was 2 days before my 18th birthday. So this has been quite a while. So we were decided to go to Disneyland. I had the annual pass. So back in those days, you could do what was called a transfer of the stamp. So you could all have the stamp to get in. You can normally do four off the one and just get a piece of tape, the whole thing. And then we had the black light to check it. So we were doing that. But before we decided to go to Disneyland, it's, you know, we got to have some 40s and get ready. And we go to the park. And all of a sudden, well, I was like, okay, I'm going to have one more sit before we go in. My fault. And you know how Disney security is. All of a sudden, we're fucking, we're circled. We're circled by Disney security, the Secret Service with their things. And we all have to get out of the cars. They have us like all lined up. And this is the 90s. I had my hat on with the pot leaf. And someone had pot on them. And they were like literally on the other side. They had us like, I was already in the van. And then there was like three of them. They were still interviewing. I'm sitting in the van watching, and like they're like having to put his hands up. My friend puts his hands up, like, and then like the bag of weed falls down his leg onto the ground, and yet somehow it was mine. They kept trying to say it was mine.
Because you had the shirt.
I was like, you saw it fall out of his pants. I'm sitting over here in the van.
Oh, so, man.
Because I was a minor, I had to go to Disney jail. So they took me into Disney jail, which legitimately had a Goofy painted on the door outside of it, and a little window. I think it could probably fit about six people. So I had to sit in that in Disney jail until my mother was out of town. I believe my aunt came and got me. And everyone, I was the only one who got stuck in Disney jail because everyone else's birthday had already passed. So they were all 18, and they were just allowed to go.
All righty.
So I had
Holy
my aunt.
Toledo.
So my aunt took me home. I stopped and got some more booze and continued.
Priorities.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
All right. Well, speaking of 40s, potent potables question. What IBA? Official cocktail is made with two parts Prosecco and one part fresh peach puree. And IBA is International Bartenders Association. Once again, what IBA official cocktail is made with two parts Prosecco and one part fresh peach puree? We'll be back in a few minutes with the answer. want. IBA official cocktail is made with two parts Prosecco and one part fresh peach puree. Syed playing by Anita Ward was Ring My Bell. His correct answer is Bellini. Bellini being the correct answer, didn't have much to think on that. Now, Todd, I know you're the resident, you know. Anytime I ask a potent potables question, you're like, oh, well, I already knew that. Is that something you already had known?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, the thing every day. All right, gentlemen. Deep question for this week. What time era are you? Not necessarily what time era do you want to be in, rather what time era do you is your personality most like? Now, they may be the same answer, the time era you want to be in and the time era you are, but it still requires a different path of thinking to reach the conclusion of what time era you are. And that's what I want to unearth, so to speak. So I'll start things off. And I would say, at first I was thinking like, oh, 80s all the way, but that's just a decade. In terms of like an actual time era, I would have to say the Renaissance. The Renaissance area where everybody was just like, you know, acting a fool, basically, and just being creative and all that stuff. Like that, that's an area where like, yeah, it just feels like that's the time era that I like encapsulate almost to a sense. What about you guys?
For me, early 70s, 42nd Street, New York, grindhouse era. No, I'm not a PC guy, as you guys can tell. I like it when times were simpler. I think that was an era where people I know that have been through it, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. A lot less worries. And although in a way, I guess, you know, just coming out of Vietnam, there's worries. But still, I don't know. Seems a lot more fun than 2020.
There. Todd?
I get your thought process with that. With that one, which is I totally do, but I gotta go. Anyone who knows me, it's not gonna be shocked. I'm going with the 90s. Here's the positive about the 90s, though, Dan. You could still do 42nd Street. It was a gentrified
42nd Street.
It was no, it still was enough. It wasn't 2000 where it became like all clean. It still was dirty. It's probably dirtier than the 70s at that point. But yeah, so you're thinking for entertainment and where you'd want to be?
Personality too, because I'm not a PC guy.
But there's more than just.
I could see you being Dark Ages as well.
Yeah,
because that's surely not PC.
Because you can just kill people and.
Like that kind of stuff was just like the plague era. Like that was just commonplace.
I figured he was going to say cowboys and Indians.
It's an West adventurer hat, not a cowboy hat, Todd.
Oh, okay. So I know, but here's what I thought you were going to say. I'll be honest. I thought you were going to go with the Caligula era.
Well, that probably is fun too. Yeah, anything went there, but yeah.
But yeah.
All right, Todd, what do you got?
I'm simple. I already said the 90s.
Oh, okay then.
No, you want me to pick like an era that we never actually lived in? Is that the whole thing?
No.
That's what I was thinking.
Because yeah, you said the era that most describes me. 90s.
90s of the current era.
Yes, not the 1890s. The
1990s. There you go. And Greg, what do you got?
I honestly. Between the juggling, the unicycling, the progressive music I love, and the occasional herb I smoked, I'm pretty sure I got to go with the whole hippie era. Like that's, although Renaissance would be fun. I think true to form, and plus I'm a guy who likes to walk barefoot in the grass. It happens.
you do encapsulate hippie pretty well.
Bit.
If there was ever a hippie in 2020, you'd be pretty up there. Although you do blend in well with the real world.
Thank you.
I should say real world because, I mean, honestly, for a hippie to survive, they need to make some adjustments. And you've made those adjustments. And you're definitely a hippie at heart.
Yeah, I shower, you know, so.
There you go. Exactly. All right.
Dave, take note.
This question is in the topic of science. In March 2015, NASA's Dawn probe entered orbit around what dwarf planet residing in the main asteroid belt? The extensive region between Mars and Jupiter. It is named after the Roman goddess of agriculture. Once again, in March of 2015, NASA's Dawn probe entered orbit around what dwarf planet residing in the main asteroid belt? The extensive region between Mars and Jupiter. It is named after the Roman goddess of agriculture. We'll be back in a few minutes with the answer.
Oh, mama, mama, look there. Your children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns jammed downtown. The killing clowns, the blood money men. Shooting foes. Washington bullets again. As every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember Allende and the days before, before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium. Es verdad. Those Washington bullets again. And in the Bay of Pigs in 1961, Havana for the Playboy and the Cuban Sun. For Castro is the color is a redder than red. Those Washington bullets want Castro dead. For Castro is the color, the bullet new spray of lead. Moscow bullets missed. Ask him what he thinks of voting communist. Ask the Dalai Lama in the hills of Tibet. How many monks did the Chinese get in a war-torn swamp? Stop any mercenary and check the British bullets in his armory.
In March 2015, NASA's Dawn probe entered orbit around what dwarf planet residing in the main asteroid belt, the extensive region between Mars and Jupiter? It is named after the Roman goddess of agriculture. song I had playing by The Clash was Washington Bullets. And I'm going to, fair warning, this journey we're going to go on goes through the world of sports. Because the Washington Bullets now currently play as the Washington Wizards. They went through a name change, obvious reasons. Another team that plays in Washington are the Washington Nationals, who are the current Major League Baseball team, Washington Nationals, who are the current World Series champions. Because the correct answer was series. That's some bullshit. I know. It's terrible. And also, unfortunately, what is terrible is that we are out of time. I'd like to thank Sunset Trivia for providing the answers. And thank you for listening wherever it is, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're getting your podcasts. And don't forget the Patreon, patreon.com/flesh wound features. And for Dan, Greg, and Todd, have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And of course, thank you all for joining us. And because you did, in our hearts, you're all good enough.
Hello, baby. Rock a wild.